Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla.
I'm Jordana.
My name is Bill.
And I'm Johanna.
And we are sitting down to talk this week about envy, which is, kind of a tricky thing to talk about, I think. But hopefully we can have some really good conversations. The first thing that I wanted us to sort of work on and sort of clarify together is, like, what is envy? And is envy the same thing as jealousy, or is it a little bit different than that? What do we think?
It can be used interchangeably. I think we very often do it.
Yeah.
I think what I think of is that jealousy has to do with what you possess. But, you know, jealousy can be used in a different way.
Sure.
Than envy.
Yeah.
Envy has to do with other people. Jealousy has to do maybe with what you have.
Okay.
That's one way of thinking.
Other thoughts?
I see them as pretty much the same thing, so it's very interchangeable. I'd certainly be interested in learning more about what the distinction between the two are. So, Johanna?
I did not know that there was a distinction, actually. For me,
let me clarify what I mean then. It's you can be jealous for your honor. Or somebody who has been accused can be jealous for their innocence. Like, there is a way of saying that.
Yeah. You know, so is it more about
sort of protective
stuff?
It's about protecting something. Now, it can be bad. You sort of, this is mine, I don't share it sort of thing.
Right.
But you can also recognize that when you're, like, God is jealous, they say, right?
Right.
Just and jealous God, right? He's jealous for his own glory.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, like others that are not worthy of that worship.
Yes.
Right.
And but I see that as a different meaning of jealousy.
Yes, it's a slightly
as an alternate
meaning
of jealousy as opposed to the meaning of jealousy, which is basically the same as envy.
As envy, yeah.
I see what you mean there.
So a person could also be jealous for their own honor or something.
Right.
What they're doing is protecting it. Mm-hmm. So there is that sense of jealousy that's not very used, I think, today.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. More positive use of the word jealous or jealousy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So then that actually helps to make sense of, like, why we can talk about God as jealous.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because, if we think jealousy is the same thing as envy, and envy is a sin, then, God can't be jealous.
Right.
Right? Because then we would be saying God is sinful. But, that helps make sense of it for sure.
Yeah. So humans and God can be jealous in a good way. But. Mm-hmm. As I said, that's not a very useful, it's not a very common way of thinking of jealousy.
And
most of the time we just think of being jealous of somebody else, in which case it's almost the same as envy, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we're talking about the definition of envy, I think we heard it a couple times in the service, and Justin said it, is that very simply envy is wanting what other people have.
Right.
Right. Stuff we don't have, we want what they have, and we're envious of them and what they have.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, one of the other things that I was reading about this week and sort of thinking about this was there was some people saying that, like, envy, when we use that word, we're more focused on, like, the thing that we are envious of, whereas, like, jealousy, sometimes we're more talking about, like, the person. So, like, I don't know, I am envious of Bill's phone, for example, and I'm like, I really want the phone.
It's a good phone.
It's a good phone. Yeah. But if I was saying I was jealous, then it's more about, like, my relationship with Bill, right? Then, I don't know. Does that feel true in the way that we use those words?
So you're still jealous of the phone. You're still envious of the phone, but the jealousy is on the person. Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah. That's a good distinction, too. Yeah, it's helpful.
I've never thought about it that way.
Okay. Does it feel true?
I guess so, if I think about it now.
Okay.
But, like, for me, jealous just kind of seems like a thing that you say, like, oh, I'm so jealous or whatever. Like, it's just a normalized kind of word.
Okay.
Versus envious is like, oh, that's a sin.
Okay.
that's how it feels for me.
Yeah.
So, like, the word, like saying you're envious of someone sounds like you're, like, plotting on them or something.
Yes.
Like, but, like, jealous just kind of, you just kind of throw that word around, like, if you're, like, mildly wanting something is how I use it.
Yeah.
Or Johanna would say, I'm so jelly.
I would not say that.
Okay, well, maybe some other young people would.
So where does envy or jealousy sort of come from? Like, what, why does it exist?
Maybe like a lack kind of mindset.
Okay.
You feel like you're lacking something, so you want. That's right. How it works in my head, at least, like the gears working that way.
It's not just lack. Like somebody can lack food and genuinely be hungry, right? Yeah. I think it's that comparative, that sense that somebody has something and there's a deficiency in you, right? Like I think there's a sense that somebody having it and you feeling like you should have it.
Yeah, like
and
social
there's
an pressure.
Enmity of, there's a little bit of malice there, which is why I think we make that distinction between envy being worse than jealousy, right? That you did, that you said,
so also
Joanna.
The difference between need and want, right?
Yeah.
There's stuff that we need, you know, for ourselves and for our family. And and then there's things that we want that are, you know, we don't necessarily need them, but we want them. And I think that kind of the level then goes to more towards, you know, being envious or being jealous of others, because of the, you know, they have those things that we want and we want them for ourselves. Yeah, for sure.
The why for the want is kind of important too, because sometimes you just kind of want something because it looks appealing and your friend has it. And so you want to have it and you want to belong to the social group that has Bill's phone. Bill's phone specifically. Yes. but like, you're actually just fine with Kyla's phone.
Right.
And like, you have to examine why you want the thing.
We talked about this last week when we talked about being built with a hole in our heart.
Right.
And it's a God-shaped hole. Mm-hmm. And anything that we try to fill that, whether it's my phone or, you know, or anything that we're, you know, envious of that other people might have, we try to, you know, it comes from, like you were saying, where does envy come from? It comes from us desiring to fill that hole in our hearts to make us complete, right?
Yeah.
And we try to fill it with all sorts of stuff, but ultimately it's a God-shaped hole, and only God is going to, you know, serve that purpose of completing us in the way that He made us. But we try to fill that with, you know, a nice vacation or the latest model car that our neighbor has that we want, and and we get it. We might feel good for a little bit because, you know, like we were talking, you know, last week and this week, is that, you know, when we get the stuff that we desire, we tend to desire the stuff that makes us feel good. So when we get it, we feel good. But it ultimately doesn't fill that hole.
Right.
And only God will fill that hole. So.
For sure. Yeah. So, Johanna, you talked about, like, you know, wanting things that your friends have.
Yeah.
And I think... I wonder if, like, social media, like, then feeds into envy more because I get to see more of what my friends have. I know in my own life, for example, now, like, I've been out of high school for a number of years, but, like, still sort of interact with some high school friends or, like, see them on social media, right?
Yeah.
And, like, there's such a temptation in my life to be like, oh, they're going on another international vacation, or like, oh, they found their partner, they're raising a family, and that's just like not where I'm at in my life.
Me
right
there.
So like, do you feel like social media like feeds envy?
It definitely can if you let it. Like I feel like it's a, you control what you see on social media. So if it's like friends and stuff that you're following, like, you can look at the post or you could just not if you know that you're in a jealous kind of mood. I don't know.
Yep.
But like, I mean, there definitely is that pressure though, like added if you're seeing it repeatedly on their Instagram that they're like living a really great life and you're not. Like, yeah, I would be jealous. But I mean, I'm more jealous of like experiences and stuff. But like, I think that's kind of like a good jealous because it makes me want to just go and have my own. So... it can be a motivator sometimes to be jealous. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it can. It can be a motivator. I don't know. What do other folks feel like?
I agree. I think that, and here I'm trying to make distinctions here, you know, between admiration or seeing something good, right, that you might like to experience, and envy. And like so much of social media is the flip of envy, which is boasting, which is based on so often... you know, recognizing I have something good, I'm going to just spread it out. Now, that can be sharing with friends, but social media, there's a weird sort of difference to sharing it publicly rather than like a heartfelt talk with a friend. You know, that's very different. And so it has a dynamic that veers into boasting precisely at the point at which others are invited to envy. You know, there's this odd dynamic in certain elements of social media that, that like it's inherent to the medium, I think, very often. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think the temptation lies when it comes to social media. You know, it's people posting very often, very aware of the sort of boasting about their experiences or their, you know, under the guise of sharing, for example. Because it's not personal. It's in a way. And so there's where I found my social media, my movement away from social media has helped me a lot.
Yep.
Because as much as I'd love to hear about your vacation, it's nice if we actually have a conversation. And whereas if all I'm seeing is your post from, I don't know, Bali, you know, it's lovely that you have that, but there's no sense in which there's a sharing among friends. And so that's where I find the medium becomes very inherently in a space where envy and boasting sort of feed off each other.
It's interesting that we're talking about these kind of international trips or trips to the sun destinations, because I find over the years that I really have to watch my social media feed in January, February, and March, because I get all these posts of friends that are going down south to all these really nice tropical locations, and I'm looking at their pictures, and I'm like,
they're shoveling your snow.
I'm shoveling my snow, trying to get my snowblower to work, and I'm seeing them in the on the beach and having fun and doing stuff, and I just I try to be happy for them, but I think that's where I
and I think it's all of us, right? Because, I mean, that sense of travel and adventure.
Yeah.
And we know it's a good experience.
Yeah.
Right. But, and I think that's the thing about envy. Very often the things we want, many of them can be bad, sure. But many things that we want, if we're envious, they can be good things that we might not be in the space or in the moment that we can experience. And so recognizing that it's good and at the same time that it's not necessarily for us where we are right now.
Yeah.
And being happy or okay with that. Like, that's the challenge. Yeah. Right. And so, it's if you're sort of envious of a family or if you're envious of people's experiences and all, you know, they're not bad things, which is why it's so easy to envy.
Right.
In those moments. I've never envied like somebody who's ultra rich or, you know, like a hedge fund manager. Like, that's not me.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, I'm not even envious of you.
Right. Well, that's because it's not your heart's desire.
It's not my heart's desire at all. And so I think the issue is when you have values where you recognize these are good things.
Yeah.
And you might like to have them, but they're not where you are right now. To be grateful in that moment for what you have, that's the struggle.
Yeah. Oh, so, I think that's bang on.
So,
I think it's
I guess just thinking about it, then, like, if it's all about our values, right? And like you said, like, I can only be envious of the things that I actually want.
Yeah.
And they're good things, which then makes me think about, you know, like what Justin was just saying in his sermon about this idea of like not hedging our bets, right? If we're going to trust God to give us something, then we need to trust God to give us that thing, right? Like, even if it's something I could get another way, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So social media sort of gives us this possibility for envy. Do you think it also, like, are there ways that it can be a sort of antidote to envy, or does it just feed the negative?
A little bit.
Okay.
But it's like a guilty pleasure, is that I will look at people who have really bad lives and then I feel good about mine.
Okay.
So that's like a very literal antidote.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not the best motivator, but it's my little thing that I do sometimes.
Fair.
So I think, as Libby said, if the antidote to envy is gratitude, then we need to build that into our lives.
Yeah.
And I think it's a discipline. I think it's something that we need to train ourselves mm-hmm. to do over years and years of repetition. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I do with my life group every week, and I don't think they get annoyed at it, but it definitely is repetitive, where I just, every week, part of my prayer request is for us to be grateful for what we have and mindful of those who have less.
Right.
And sometimes I give examples of that. And that might be after I shared, you know, that I'm currently not working and don't have a lot of, you know, money to beyond paying the bills to do, you know, kind of fun stuff. My prayer request is for us to be grateful and be mindful of those who have less,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all kind of relative from, you know, wherever mm-hmm. you are, but there are always going to be people who have more and there's always going to be people who have less and just one, be grateful, the antidote to envy, mm-hmm. and then to be mindful of those who are in need around us and to help out as best mm-hmm. we can. Mm-hmm. So that as a discipline is great, but then as an action, you know, I would definitely encourage people to volunteer in their community, you know, to volunteer at a food bank, to volunteer at a shelter, to volunteer at, I'm part of the Out of the Cold program in Georgetown, and I volunteer once or twice a week with the overnight program where we provide a hot meal for dinner and then a warm, safe place for people who are unhoused to have a place to sleep.
Mm.
And that's it. You know, we're 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., and that's what we do. And as you participate in a program like that, you become very aware of the people in your community who have less
right.
and are in need.
Yep.
And I think that's super humbling,
mm-hmm.
right? To you know, wherever you're at with your life, you know, if you're just building a career or, you know, you're saving money for a house or what, you know, you're at a different place and you're, you know, be grateful for where you are and mm-hmm. be aware of and help out when you can for people that have less.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think, yeah, gratitude is definitely one of those sort of antidotes for envy, like you were saying. And, the piece you were talking about volunteering just reminds me, like, I was just sort of trying to think through, like, compassion as another sort of antidote for envy and just, like, recognizing that, yeah, I mean, there are lots of people who have things that I want, but there are also lots of people who, like, want the things that I have, right? And, like, how can I extend compassion?
That can help.
Yeah.
You know, to be happy with where you are, that's true. There's still, though, a problem with that kind of comparative sense, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to feel glad that you're not that person who's suffering, you know, it has its own negative seed there, mm-hmm. right? And as much as you'd have compassion, you're like, oh, I'm glad I'm not them. You know, you can do that compassionately. But I think the space that is hard, just because we are such social creatures, we learn from each other, that how do we move away from that comparative sense of, you know, whether it's envying people with more or mm-hmm. being glad that we're not with, you know, suffering like people with less. I loved what Justin said about humbling ourselves, that we... Where we are is where, if you're humble before God, that's where He wants you to be.
Right.
And, you know, so you're not looking to others who have less to feel good about yourself mm-hmm. either. Mm-hmm. Your relationship is first with who God is as a creator, mm-hmm. where His presence is in your life, where He holds you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that humility can feed a gratitude that is not about things so much as about your relationship with God, as much as it's possible to do that. I know I speak in idealistic terms. It's harder to do that in a world where we do need material things mm-hmm. to basically be happy. Like, you can't be happy if you're starving. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are genuine, I agree with Bill, there is a sense in which those who have should be sharing, mm-hmm. should be volunteering, should be mm-hmm. doing these things. But in terms of just that attitude of comparison, mm-hmm. you know, humbling yourself before God, you know, allows you to be, to trust him for where you are.
Yeah.
And I think that can be a kind of antidote.
Yeah, I agree with you on the comparative part, is that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to others. We need to focus on God. Yeah. And the I think the worst, I don't know, are there levels to envy?
I think there are.
Then I think the worst level of envy is wanting what others have and not, so for yourself, that you want them and not wanting others to have it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there, that's the comparative part. Yep. That's where really kind of the and but to avoid that, like what Justin taught, he referred to Peter walking on the water towards the boat to Jesus. Yeah. And he was able to walk on the water toward Jesus because he was focused on Jesus. And,
yes.
And when he started to get concerned about the winds and the waves, the troubles of life, and focused on them instead, he began to sink into the water. And right. And I think that's what the comparative part that you're talking about,
yeah,
right? So as long as we're focused on Jesus, we can walk on water, which is incredible. It's a miracle. I mean, yeah. I so much hope for that, for my life, for our lives, that we could be so focused on Jesus that we can do the miraculous.
Right.
And the, but if we're, but the warning is if we turn our face away from him and mm-hmm. focus on other things, you know, for me, it would be a motorcycle trip and, you know, oh, I want that next motorcycle trip. Then I start to sink. And mm-hmm. then I get scared and you know, start to panic.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I just
yeah.
sink even more.
Yeah.
So focus on Jesus.
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about envy in the context of, you know, social media sometimes feeds that. Are there other sort of things in the world that sort of feed our drive towards envy?
Yeah, I think social media is only the latest iteration, right?
Sure.
Our consumer culture is built on envy. Essentially, our entire lifestyle in the West is built on having a nice house, having, like, you know, essentially the rise of consumerism was based on a sense of keeping up, you mm-hmm. know, imagining a particular lifestyle.
Right.
Which is when you consider the downstream problems of our consumerism,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
we don't even recognize how damaging it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before and social media, everyone would talk about commercials.
Yeah.
Commercials on television. Yeah. We're not watching as many commercials on television
right.
anymore.
Or throwaway culture, exactly, right. You know, use and discard.
The
right.
commercial was effective when it identified an area of lacking in your life
yeah.
and how that product could fix that.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
And whether that lacking was real or not, mm-hmm. the commercial's job was to convince you it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you
yeah.
go and buy that product and all of a sudden your life is great now.
mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And so I think, yeah, so media in general is very good sure. at amplifying, you know, that kind of.
Yeah, what's already there.
Yeah. I mean, what's.
Even like going outside, you can be envious of anyone, anything. Like I saw a really nice car on a walk with some friends and it was like, yo, that's a really nice car. and I want that car. What? But then I had to think about like how much work that person hopefully put into buying that car, I guess, like honest work, because it was a really expensive car. But I would hope that they like put a lot of work into saving up for that car or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just thought of that and it made me less envious because it's not just the like beauty of the shiny thing, but it's also
right.
like, oh, it took like blood, sweat, and tears probably to get to that really nice car.
Mm.
So just thinking about the process of getting things makes me want them less, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is good for envy.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
rather not having
it. It is, yeah.
Yeah. Joanna, there was something you said last week that stuck with me, and I think it fits in our conversation here, and that's you said that a teacher, a professor, had told you to check yourself on the little things.
Yes.
Because if you let yourself go on the little things, you know, telling a lie when telling a lie becomes normal, then cheating on a test, that becomes normal and then it just progresses.
Yeah.
And so I think that for envy, like your example of the car, right? If you're envious of the car and you don't check yourself, then you might begin to do things so that you could get that car for yourself, which might include lying and cheating or maybe even stealing that car.
Not me.
But someone might do that. And the but that's the thing, that so if you're not careful, if you don't guard your heart on those first, you know, steps, then it becomes easier to take the next step and then the next step, and then you find yourself driving down the street in a stolen vehicle that you've always wanted. And that's not a good thing.
Then it gets repossessed you're in jail. Or the police catch you and gets
repossessed. I think so often, like what you were just sharing, Johanna, makes me think about like what we are envious of is always like the end result. Right? Like, I'm never envious of someone's process to getting the end result, right? Like, it's like you said, you're not envious of the, like, you know, big bankers of the world and stock traders and stuff, because that's a lot of work. Am I envious of, you know, their big condo and their fancy car? Maybe. But, like, I'm not envious of the work that got them there.
Right. Right.
Sounds boring, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm also curious, Johanna, I know you've, like, lived in lots of different places around the world. I'm wondering, like, does envy look or feel different in different places? Like, because we've been talking about it as this, like, big Western consumerist sort of thing, right? But, or does it sort of, is it a global sort of phenomenon in your experience?
I would say so. I think it's just kind of human nature, as with all sins, pretty much.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, yeah. I mean, it might present slightly differently, and like maybe in a different language or something, or a different expression is used for it. Right. But like, it's still the same thing at its core. It's just wanting what someone else has. I think that's pretty universal, unless you're like part of like an elite group of people that just does not covet anything because you're so great. That's cool for you. But like, I think most people are envious at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, when you're talking about this elite group of people, I was saying, well, the ultra wealthy, right? They're not envious, right? But like,
I'm not thinking ultra wealthy at all. I'm thinking somebody who, you know, I don't know. I think Mother Teresa when I think somebody not envious. You
right.
know? I think someone who's like chosen the downward path, knowing that the world cannot answer the real desires of her heart. And her desire was Jesus and helping the poor, right? Then like all the wealth just bounces off her, all this showing of wealth. Like very few people are like that. Yeah. And you can say Jesus was like that. You know, I mean, or she was like him, but you know, that sense in which you are able to see through what the world pretends to promise. Right, is huge, and that's what Jesus constantly is saying, like, don't lose your soul. You know, what does it matter if you gain the world and lose your soul? Right,
right.
I mean, that's a kind of warning that can guard against envy in so much, because it gives the lie to the sense that none of these things will satisfy or provide. So there are very few people, I think, who don't want, and I think it's not even riches, I think it's the ways in which we are promised fulfillment in this world, right? Yeah. We're talking about things, but it's not necessarily things that I envy very often. Like, it's somebody who is successful in their career.
Yep.
It is somebody who is fulfilled in certain ways.
Yep.
It is, you know, and so the world is promising us that all these things, sexuality, I don't know, careers, like these are fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yep.
These are ultimately fulfilling. And the thing is that at some level they are fulfilling as material beings on this planet. It's just that they are not ultimately fulfilling. And so I love that. I think it's that it's an old definition of idolatry, which, you know, talks about idolatry not as necessarily terrible, but as just mistaking the created thing for the creator, right? And so they're good things created for us, but they are not the creator.
Yeah.
And so to be envious about these things that do in fact provide some meaning, some fulfillment, family, you know, career, happiness, that sort of thing. Those are the places where I think it's very very easy to slip into envy and not even recognize it. So that's where I really think eyes on Jesus, right? And trust for your life emerging from your relationship with him and trusting him for where you are. Because those, I'm going to stop there.
As you were thinking there, I was doing a little bit of self-reflection, but also then thinking about like self-pity. Sometimes envy leads into self-pity, or self-pity leads into envy. It's this like cycle of, especially like the example that immediately comes to mind for me is like looking at other people who like have a partner, have their life, they're starting their family, they're doing all of those like really good things. And those are, they're good things. Right. But like, I look at myself and I'm like, I don't have that. And it can feed this cycle of pity and envy.
I'm speaking a lot. I was going to say, I was reading up a little bit of an envy, and the older version of envy talks about wanting what other people have.
Yeah.
But it actually talks about the sadness of not having it. Yeah. Like there's this affective, this, you know, melancholy sense of deprivation.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's not admiration. The envy is not just admiration, but admiration is self-giving.
Yeah.
Right. You can admire something and feel like, okay, this is beautiful and not feel envious. But when it actually makes you feel sad about what you don't have, that's that sort of element.
What you're talking about is that absence of what we need to be complete. Right. Exactly. So we've circled around this. A couple of times where we're just saying, you know, we are we're built by God to be in relationship, to be in community, to be, to believe and to have a sense of belonging and to, and so we crave those things that we think will complete us. Right. And the absence of those things does make us sad and does make us, you know, desire to have those things to be complete. It's just that, as Justin talked about, our faulty moral compass points us in the wrong direction to what we think we need to be complete and to have our heart full as God has designed us to. And so we pick the wrong things. But that motivation, that desire comes from, is built in, is hardwired into the creation of us, and that, and God did that, right? And the but God did that to point us to Him. But we take that and we point it to a really nice motorcycle.
We substitute a lot of things.
You know, because you pick the things that you desire, and the and in the hopes that that will make us complete and or less sad. You know, and for a time we are happy. But ultimately, we need to recognize that that's not the thing that's gonna, and that's gonna make it. So, you know, we're gonna check ourselves. We gotta, you know, get our compass pointed in the right direction and keep our focus on Jesus as much as we can.
So we've been talking about, you know, this idea, checking ourselves, gratitude, keeping our eyes on Jesus. We've been talking about them sort of conceptually. So I want us to end with some like really practical, like what does that look like? So as corny as it sounds, like when I think about gratitude, I think about like a gratitude journal and literally just writing down every day. This is a good thing that happened today. This is what I'm grateful for. And the times where I've done that in my life, it's been surprisingly helpful because it feels really basic and corny, like I said, but it actually is super helpful, I think. Are there other sort of practical things?
No, I think gratitude's huge because I'm very tempted by, you know, especially when close people can, friends who just have more, right? And there was a point at which I was praying with the kids and we, you know, we always acts, right? It helps the kids to adoration, confession, Thanksgiving. And the Thanksgiving part, we were like, thank you. Let's talk about thank you. And just even praying with them helped. And there was once we were talking about thank you for all that you've given us. And my son said, And thank you for, you gave us more than we need, right? Mm, like, thank you for giving us all we need. And he gave us more than we need. And so now our prayer is, thank you for giving us more than we need. And that has helped a lot, you know, for our family, at least for me.
Yeah.
It's like, my goodness, what am I, you know, what am I upset about? Or what am I feeling here? I have more than I need. And so for now, that has been very helpful.
My thing's kind of been like waiting because I don't know, I feel like when I get envious I can feel a bit impulsive. So it's like, okay, I want that thing, I have money, I'm going to buy it now, and that's like really bad financially. So just like waiting to realize like, oh, I actually don't need this, or I already have something similar at home already or whatever, then like you just, the feeling kind of fades. It's like one of those things where like the first bit of envy is like so strong. It's like, I need it, I'm deprived. And then you wait it out. It's like, I actually lived like a while before the thing even appeared in my head, and I can keep doing that. I didn't do that for like the rings that I'm wearing, because I saw someone wearing them on Instagram, and then I went to their Amazon storefront because they were really cute and cool and I liked them. And then I bought them for myself that same exact minute, which is really bad. I should have thought about it before. I mean, I don't regret it, but...
They're nice rings.
Thank
nice
you.
Rings.
Yeah, but
green tree frog ring is very nice. And you have matching earrings too.
They're turtles though, but they're not frogs. Turtles? Yeah. Oh,
okay. I'm envious of your earrings. I might go to Amazon and order me one.
Yeah, you can't separate the friends though. They're a duo.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like just waiting is probably a good practice if you're someone who's like impulsive when they're envious like me.
For me, I would talk about developing a habit of gratitude. For me, I talk about discipline, like developing a discipline and training yourself. And so for me, I need to build that into my life as a regular reminder. So if it's something that's important to me, I need to, I pray on my own about just being grateful for what I have in my life, or my family, my wife, my daughters, and that kind of thing. But also in my life group on a weekly basis, kind of doing that as a group together, just to be grateful for what we have, and to be aware of or mindful of those who don't, and to if when we can do something to help. So one is the habit of gratitude and taking opportunities to be thankful. And then I would say that the second thing is, I've already mentioned earlier, but it would be to volunteer in the community and to really, I mean, that is a practice of humbling yourself to serve others. And it's in that that we see the need that other people have for food, for housing, for education, for mental health, and how we can help. I think that's also a part of checking that need or that envy that we see in the lives in other people that have what we don't have that we want, is to spend time with people who have less and help them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I could just add one thing more to the gratitude and waiting. It's also the trust.
Yeah.
The trust that God has you in his hands now, where you are.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because there are people who might not have a lot, who are in fact struggling, and so... As they pray, for sustenance, as they pray for help, right, to trust that even in the hard times, that God's got you in his hand.
That
can help a lot. So I think that sense of cultivating that trust is deeply important to sort of guard against envy. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, folks. This has been a really rich conversation, a lot of stuff to unpack for sure, but I think we've ended up somewhere a little bit hopeful, which feels good. Yeah, so thank you for this conversation, and thank you for tuning in and listening with us. I hope that you have also been able to find some nuggets of wisdom and hope to move forward through this Lenten journey. And we will see you again next week.